you're going to do something really exciting to us and we get rejected. What? That's called an intersection. We have a choice to make at that moment. Do we let it drag us down? Do we turn our back? These are all intersections. When we hit that proverbial stop sign, and somebody cuts us off, or bolts in front of us, we have a choice to make. And the disciples had a choice to make. When we try new things, what happens? As an example, perhaps some of you have read this book or seen this movie. At age 26, a woman named Cheryl Strayed set out on a journey with no experience or training, and she began to hike more than 1,000 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail from Mojave Desert to Washington State. Better her than me. And walking alone, she experienced hunger and thirst, loneliness and companionship, terror and pleasure. As she started out, she made a very important decision. No fear. No fear. She said that I knew that if I allowed fear to overtake me, she realized my journey was doomed. It was doomed. And fear, to a great extent, is born of a story we tell ourselves. And so I chose to tell myself a different story from the one most women are told. I decided I was safe. I decided I was strong. I decided I was brave. And nothing could vanquish me. So her journey was dangerous. But she refused to let fear get the upper hand at each intersection that she came to. She wouldn't accept that she was weak and cowardly. Instead, she told herself the story that she was strong and brave. And so she was. After completing this long and grueling hike, she wrote the book Wild. Raise your hand if you actually read it. Anybody see the movie? Okay, yeah. So you know what I'm getting at. And which was later turned into a movie starring Reese Witherspoon. Looking back, Cheryl Strayed, who would imagine that name, Cheryl Strayed. It's kind of weird how it works itself in. She didn't stray so much. But she wrote that her life was, like all lives, mysterious and irrevocable, sacred, so very close, so very present, so very belonging to me. How wild it was to let it be. In this no-fear decision that she made, there's a connection to today's reading. I hope you can find it. Please keep it open to it or keep looking at it. Soon after foretelling of his death, if you read what comes before this reading, that's why it's important, Jesus embarks on a journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. See, to us, that probably sounds like a long distance. But we have cars, so it took days for them. He knows that this trip will be a wild one, and that it will end in his death and resurrection, if you know what's coming after this story, before and after, so that's the context. And he makes the decision that Cheryl Strayed made. No fear at each intersection. It's a crazy concept when you think about it. Here's a man who knows. He already told his disciples, I'm going to be tortured, spit on, stabbed, murdered by being nailed to a cross. So hey, let's go. Let's go talk to people. Is that what you would think? He made a choice, each intersection. And along the way, he instructs his disciples, engages in debates with his opponents, speaks in parables to the people, and heals the sick as he lives out this phrase, at the intersection, look forward. So, he set his face to Jerusalem, as we see in verse 51. At every intersection through his ministry, Jesus had compassion. Think about it. If you know you're about to be killed the way he was, how much compassion is going to be inside of you? A choice. Now, we can see this in two ways. First is salvation for the world. At this point in his ministry, Jesus was looking forward to what needed to come next. He knew that he must take up the cross and bear the sins of the world. With dedication and determination, Jesus begins this journey to meet his appointment with destiny. Jesus understood what was truly most important. Like a runner who's focused on the finish line, or a running back moving towards the end zone, Jesus was focused on where he needed to go. And at every intersection of life and ministry, nothing could divert his attention away from accomplishing this purpose. And in the end, believe it or not, we, all believers, are the ones that are changed. Because Jesus would not alter his course of compassion and love. Now here's the ever-important question always asked. Can we say the same in our lives? Think about it. We see ourselves in these shoes, or in this case, in these sandals, in these dirty feet. Can we say the same in our lives about compassion and love? And that's why I ask for strength to give this actual sermon. Many times it's difficult for me. Things happen in our lives. We make that choice, that intersection in life, compassion and love, or what's to come next. But Jesus, who set his face on a course, ignoring distractions, takes us back to Isaiah. So if you can, look at Isaiah 57, a passage that describes the suffering servant. And we hear the servant say, "The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near." I'll read that again. "The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near." And we can see that Jesus was becoming that suffering servant as he looked ahead to the cross. His compassion reached out to draw the entire world into his saving embrace. And that could only happen because he made a choice at each intersection. I see our second way of seeing Jesus fighting distractions at every turn is with his mercy for those people we know as Samaritans. You see, James and John were not happy with these Samaritans. What did they do in this reading? They turned them away. They did not receive them with welcome arms, which in the Jewish culture is a big social faux pas, if you know what I mean. You think about it, a stranger knocks on your door at 3 in the morning, are you going to let him in? No. But if you didn't as a Jew, especially back then, you were now disgraced by that culture. You were to let anybody in, feed them, give them drink, welcome them as almost like a family member. They didn't do that. So what did the disciples, James and John, want to do? They asked for the fire to come down from heaven and wipe these people off the earth. It's love and compassion, isn't it? They already made a choice. And these are the disciples we're talking about. So what does Jesus do? He rebukes them. Our Lord's mercy and compassion was so great, and he could not be sent off course by anything, even his own disciples, and even to the people that were not accepting him. So let us look at it this way, please. When we know that compassion is easy to share with the people you like, or the people who are helpless, or the people who are not going to hurt you, it is easy. Is it not? Compassion gets more difficult when it's shared with people who reject you. People who have or you know will hurt you, or will hurt you again. However, for help with this problem, all we have to do is look where Jesus offered forgiveness to those who are actually killing him. We see in Luke 23, verse 24, and we can all say this together. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Say it again, please. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So you're beginning to see the radical idea for many of us about being pulled off course at any intersection in a Christian life. Do you think you can do what Jesus did at that moment on the cross? Picture yourself that way. If you were here for Good Friday service, you could actually remember the video. For some of you were in tears. Can you see yourself saying those same words? Think about it. No matter how hard it gets. So you're all invited to ask right now, what direction is my face set? What direction is my face set? It certainly makes it different in all our lives. And we can easily look around, left, right, front, backwards, to people who have hurt us in some way, to our enemies. And when we spend all of our time looking around focused on those negative things, it affects our idea of compassion. Think of that. At that moment in our Christian journey, focusing on those negative things, compassion turns into anger, bitterness, and the great word, vengeance. In turn, if we actually face the other direction, the idea of repentance, if we all look to the cross, to Jesus, as Jesus did, which is why we started pinning those papers to the cross. It's love, it's grace. Then compassion becomes much easier for all of us. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. James, John, chill out. No fire needs to come down and destroy these people. They are Samaritans. Remember, their entire life, they're taught. Dirty, rotten scoundrels, these Samaritans are. Outcasts. We don't even talk to them, especially coming to our house. But relax. Let's look positively to life and move on. And there's that idea. Let's move on. When we see what our Lord did for the entire world, when it's easier for us to deal with our own Samaritans in life, those people or things that blind us today, we make our way to the foot of the cross and we keep our focus forward. We keep it there. And it is much harder to hate. And after all, it says in 1 John chapter 4, whoever says, I love God, but hates his brother is a liar. The one who does not love his brother, whom he has, cannot love the God whom he has not seen. So if you hate your brother, you're a liar, and you obviously have not seen God. When we accept this gift from Christ, such as faith, and hold it close to our hearts, compassion then begins to flow in our hearts after we set our faces to Jerusalem. We will then not be distracted from the end times, a walk with our Lord and Savior, and at any intersection we can kneel down and pray. And perhaps we all need to create that little war room in our house. You know what I'm talking about. Perhaps we need to meet in small groups and dive into digesting Scripture, the Word of God, and pray with them and witness how this journey impacts our lives. We're getting into that very soon this summer. So, as many of you were waiting for, to finish today, these verses lead us to ask again, just like in the video you saw and in Scripture, how are our lives different as followers of Jesus than what they might have been otherwise? How would our lives be different? How are they different, hopefully, as followers, as disciples? Because we made that choice to follow. And what if we didn't? Again, powerful questions. And discipleship actually means living in ways we might not otherwise, because we made a choice and we are learning, we are being taught. And discipleship means the Bible is telling us something and giving us a whole new identity because you made that choice. We are no longer simply a biological unit on this earth, but a child of God. And we now live knowing that our citizenship in heaven, as it says in Philippians 3:20, is because our lives are now measured by eternal things. Exiles, aliens in this earthly kingdom, like it says in 1 Peter. Thus, we live daily, every minute, at the intersection of compassion and challenge. Compassion and challenge. And this one, the one who has already demonstrated compassion on our behalf on the cross, outside Jerusalem, says to us, follow me. Follow me. No more excuses are needed, only commitment to this challenge. Follow me. So again, what is your answer to our Lord and Savior? At the intersection of broken hearts and shattered dreams, Jesus meets believers with reconciliation and new purpose. At the intersection of self-centeredness and selfishness, Jesus meets believers with new direction and purpose and new compassion and genuine generosity. At the intersection of sin and reckless living, Jesus meets us with forgiveness and second chances. At the intersection of loneliness and fear, Jesus meets us with his great cloud of witness. And he reminds you, at these intersections, you are not alone. And at the intersection of our tendency to cling to a distant past and to worry about uncertain futures, Jesus meets all believers with steadfast boldness and confidence that empowers us, equips us, and leads all believers forward. It is hard. All of us, at the intersection of something that is keeping us from experience true life in Christ, all of us are at that intersection at some point, restraining us from taking up the cross and following Christ, just as we know he is calling us to do. We meet Jesus and make that choice. So, knowing that the good news is our traffic sign at every intersection, we know that Jesus meets believers there, pointing them in that direction. He's calling believers forth into new life, a beautiful life. And at that intersection, he is calling all disciples to rise up again, take a chance, create a new life. Can you see it at each intersection? Do you believe it? Do you cherish it? Do you pray on it? What is your answer? Let us pray. Lord, give us the answers. Strengthen us, lead us, be with us, feed us, nurture us. Help us make these choices. Help us accept you into our hearts, changing us, calling us forward. Take the blinders off of us. Unburden us. Let us put it down at your feet, at the cross, trusting in you and all that you give us. We know it can't be easy sometimes, We know it won't be easy, many times. But with you, with your help, faith in you, and your grace, all things are possible. We ask all this in your name.